Two weeks ago, we were looking at the Quran and the Bible, and we talked about how some of those stories are different, how the Islam claims that the Quran is the final restoration, though it was not completed until the mid to late 600s A.D., and that everything else, the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures were corrupted because they were allowed to be translated. And Quran is supposed to be read in Arabic, which is the language of God, Muhammad said, the holy language. A lot of their everyday beliefs are based on a very strict understanding of Quran, as well as the Hadith, which are the teachings of Muhammad. Sunni Muslims also look toward something called the Sunnah, which is a collection of different actions or works that Muhammad did, including marrying young women, young girls, and that kind of stuff after his first wife died. But as far as the basic beliefs or practices, that's a part of Shiite Islam, but not Islam as a whole. When we start talking about the beliefs and practices, there are certain doctrines that they're required to believe and five pillars or particular practices that they are to do each and every day. If you were to, we said to begin with that Islam means submission or surrender, and a Muslim is one who is surrendered totally to the will of Allah. Amir Hussein, Islamic scholar, and obviously a Muslim, writes on Islam as surrender, and I quote, "This surrender is an engaged response to God. Like Judaism, Islam is a religion of orthopraxy." That means right deeds, right works. By comparison, many Christians believe that all the great conduct in the world will not save a person. What is important is orthodoxy, that is, right belief. Belief in Jesus as the Christ is at the heart of salvation. Muslims and Jews, to be sure, also have an understanding of what is right belief, but they're more concerned with performance of action, end quote. So Islam is a works-based, totally works-based religious system as far as what will happen to you, where you will go. Acts will always be superior to beliefs or dogma according to the teachings of Islam. Your particular actions, and they're weighed. There are angels out there, and angels follow you around, and Islam teaches that every person has two angels, but they're not like guardian angels. They are recording angels. They don't have a record contract, but they follow you around, and one of them records all your good deeds, and one of them records all your bad deeds. Yeah, and some people think, I've had people before say, oh, well, that's kind of like the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other one. I said, well, no, not really, because they're trying to influence you. These two are following you around, and the one on one side records everything you do wrong, and the one on the other side records everything you do right. And then when time for judgment comes, yeah, you're weighed out, and the scales that are heavy are on good are in your favor. If they're light on good, you end up in hell. What we find here then are the five basic pillars of Islam. And those are first the Shahada. That is a confession. The Shahada. And the word Shahada means to bear witness or testify, in Islam or in Arabic. And that Shahada is, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Or Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. When a child is born into a Muslim household, as that child is exiting the birth canal, there is someone there repeating very loudly the Shahada, so that the very first words that child will hear as they enter the world are the words of the confession. As a person is approaching death, they are encouraged to repeat those words until their last breath. So the last words they utter, the last thoughts they have, are the words of the confession. If a Muslim is unconscious and can't do that, and there's an imam or there's another leader in the room, they will repeat into their ear the Shahada or the confession until they die, so that the very last words they hear are that. When they die there, and if they're approaching death, they're turned facing Mecca. And actually, Muslims are buried facing Mecca. So that when judgment comes and judgment day comes, then they will already be facing Mecca, the holy city. Even though the body goes to dust, the soul goes into what they call sleep. What some people call in Christianity, soul sleep. But it goes into sleep, awaiting that final judgment. Now, in order to become a Muslim, though, all you have to do, and in some instances, I guess we've kind of done, Christians have done something similar. All you got to do is walk down an aisle and say you believe and get dunked, poured, or sprinkled, and you're there. But within Islam, all you have to do is repeat the confession two times in front of Muslim witnesses. Say that you believe it in your heart, repeat the confession twice in front of Muslim witnesses, and you're considered a Muslim. Now, that's easy, except the downside for you is, from that point on, you're expected to do all these works. And you can't vary from them. The second is ritual prayer. Salat, ritual prayer. Sunni Muslims, and the Quran initially says five times a day. You get up, lunchtime, mid-afternoon, supper time, right before you go to bed. Now, Shiite Muslims have altered that to only three times a day. When you get up, your lunchtime prayer is combined with the mid-afternoon prayer, and then at night, the prayer is said prior to going to bed, and that combines your supper time and your nighttime prayer. So they're taking a shortcut. Yeah, that's right, express. And that is another point of contention between Sunni Muslims and Shiite Muslims, is that the Sunnis say that the Shia are going against what Quran and teachings of Muhammad are. But the Shia say that the Sunnis, in other ways, have accepted Western ideas and have watered down the beliefs in other ways. And so so each one of them considers the other one as having some heretical teachings within them. And as we said last time, they've been fighting for over 1,300 years with each other.
Did we, Bin Laden, did the Navy just dump him off into the ocean?
Supposedly the Navy just dumped him into the ocean. Technically within Islam, you're to be buried within 24 hours.
Right.
And not, if at all possible, you are not to be embalmed and you're not to be buried in a coffin.
But him just being dumped in the ocean, that means he could still be facing Mecca or whatever. Now, you said the guy that brought more hard feelings or something.
Well, it did cause hard feelings that they didn't allow him to be buried in the ground, and you know, he could be eaten up by the others, and that's an ignominious kind of burial. And there was, though they said they dumped him in facing Mecca, nobody really knows except the people who did it. So, right. Right. And men and women, just like in most worship, men and women at prayer time are separated. Women do not pray at the same time or the same place. Well, they pray at the same time, but they don't pray in the same place as men. In fact, according to the teaching of Muhammad, the Hadith, Muhammad stated that women pray better at home than in the mosque, and best of all, closed up in their own closets. So, you do take your shoes off. In fact, that's why you wash the bottoms of your feet very well, because you get into a prostrate position, and with your shoes off, God sees the soles of your feet as well as the top of your head. And so you don't present anything that is not washed and clean before God when you do that. So they are called to prayer. They do have, and you do it on a prayer rug, that kind of thing. The third of the five pillars is almsgiving. A-L-M-S, almsgiving. Some people don't hear me well sometimes when I teach classes and I get back on tests. You give arms. No, those are the heretics that give arms. Yeah, they chop off their arms. But almsgiving, known as zakat. A minimum of 2.5% is expected to be given to the poor and or the mosque. Though some give a tithe, 10%, based on what happened with Abraham and the tithe. Remember, they still read some of those things. The minimum requirement is 2.5%, which is about what 5 years ago, between 2.5% and 3% is what the average Baptist gave to the church rather than tithing. And then about a year or so ago, there was another study that followed up on that, said the average Southern Baptist was now up to 3.5% instead of 10%. But Muslims gives the 2.5%. That's an expectation. You give your, you get your blessings and your wealth from Allah, and so you must give back. You must give back. Now, other acts of charity, giving to the poor, smiling and greeting your neighbor in an appropriate fashion, count as extra credit. You get brownie points. But the expectation is 2.5%, and 2.5% is used to help feed the poor, to help build more mosques, and to help spread Islam through various teachings and printings and those kinds of things, such as printing and distributing Qurans.
What's expected for the poor to contribute?
The poor, if they have enough to subsist on and have extra, then they are expected to give 2.5% of whatever the extra is. However, most of the poor would be considered, for most of the time, exempt from that until they get on their feet, etc. Fasting is expected, especially during the month of Ramadan. And we mentioned this before in some other contexts, but during the month of Ramadan, which, as we said before, actually was not the holy month to begin with. It's only after Muhammad was made fun of by those Jews in Medina, and he ran off two tribes and executed the men, and another one sold the women and children into slavery, that he changed the holy month to Ramadan. And it's also at that point that he changed the holy city, which he was initially told in his first visions was Jerusalem. He turned and changed it to Mecca at that point, because the Jews weren't having any part of that. But the fasting during the month of Ramadan, you know, the lunar calendar shifts. And so while in Judaism, which is a lunar-based calendar, every so many years they add in a month of days to catch up. Yeah, because lunar is 28 days as opposed to solar calendar. In Islam, you don't. It's a lunar calendar year-round. Now, an offshoot of Islam, which is actually a fairly common religion in parts of the upstate, and you will be welcomed into easily on 123 after you go under 153 and start up the hill, used to be a static sign that had a picture of a boy, of two boys, but now it's a there's an electronic sign with all kinds of religious symbols. That's actually the Baha'is. The Baha'is welcome you to Easley, South Carolina, is what it used to say. Baha'i is an offshoot of Shiite Islam. And while Baha'is still fast, like Islam, Baha'is do not revere the Quran and don't read it any more than they read anything else. They read other things as well. Well, they're not. They're an offshoot of Muslims. But they keep some of the things. Except they have 19 months a year of 19 days. And one of those months they fast. And it's a lunar calendar. So
do they have the same beliefs?
They believe that there's one God, Allah, but they also believe that all religions ultimately lead to Him. And Baha'is also hang on to reincarnation from other traditions. So fasting is important, and during the month of Ramadan, you fast from sundown, from sunup to sundown, and you're not even allowed to. You cannot have no. The Quran and the Hadith say no food, no drink, no sex, not even swallowing your own saliva during the daylight hours, to remind you that everything in life comes from God. So what will happen oftentimes is when sundown hits, and the official announcement is made, it's now sundown. The Baha'is hold to that, except they set the time from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But when sundown hits within Islam, then you'll go and have a large meal. Oftentimes, what will happen is many Muslims will get up about an hour earlier than normal and eat a big breakfast to help sustain them through the day. Yeah. But even your own saliva, of course, if you're not eating and not drinking and you're working, you eventually you're going to get cotton mouth. You don't have any saliva to swallow. But even your own spit, you're not supposed to swallow during the daylight hours. For everything comes from Allah. And you know, if you break these things, your recording angel is sitting over here writing down that you didn't do them. Okay, and they count against you. And then you've got the fifth pillar is the Hajj, H-A-J-J, the trip to Mecca. Every good practicing Muslim is required, is expected, not just by their imam, but is expected by Allah to make one trip in their lifetime to Mecca to pray and to march around the Kaaba, that sacred building, which according to some Muslims these days, was built by Adam. Of course, they also say that Adam had a copy of the Quran, even though it wasn't written until the 600s. But it was built by Adam. It fell into disrepair later. And you may remember in the Old Testament where the second time that Hagar is run out by Abraham and Sarah, when when Isaac is born and Ishmael's a teenager, and Sarah convinces Abraham that Ishmael might try to take over what should belong to Isaac as the son of the covenant. And so Abraham runs him out into the desert. And at one point, they are dying of thirst. An angel from God comes and visits with them and says that God has heard them and God will make of Ishmael a great nation and provides a spring for them to drink fresh water. Supposedly the Kaaba, is Abraham then came later and met with Ishmael, and together they shared a drink from that spring, and they built the Kaaba again over. They repaired it and built it over that spring. So among other things that supposedly are in the Kaaba, including a meteorite that fell from heaven, is the spring, the original spring where the Kaaba was, and that Abraham and Ishmael had built that. So that's the holy site. Mecca is the holy city. The Kaaba is the holiest site there. When you go there, if you can't afford it, and then you get to an age where you're too old or your health is too poor to go, if you've got the money, you can actually pay somebody else to go on your behalf. And so it doesn't count as a sin against you. Once you make that journey, then you can claim the title of Haji, one who's made pilgrimage. I don't have a clue if that's why Johnny Quest's companion was named Haji or not in the cartoons.
Well, this person that goes for you, does that count as their trip too? Can they get two birds
at
one stone?
Some imams teach yes, because they're doing such a great service. Some say no, they have to make their own separate trip.
I'd do it while I was there.
But, yeah.
Well, which angel did Mark, good or bad?
Do what?
Which one of the angels marked good or bad?
If you're there, the angel... Mark, it's good. If you get to the end of your life and you haven't made it, the recording angel that records the evil deeds records that against you, that you never made the trip.
Okay.
The person that went for them gets an extra mark. I mean, you're getting extra credit, you know.
Ed, I'm afraid.
I want to go on the boat.
They're to dress in white, a sign of commitment. March counterclockwise around the Kaaba, and as they do so, they recite things from the Quran as well as the Hadith, as they worship the one true God. Then they are to run between the hills of Safa and Marwa, which is reminds them of running away and then running back and getting the water. Hagar was run out, Ishmael was run out, now they run back and they get the water. On the eighth day, and this is an 8-day festival. You know, Judaism, a lot of festivals are 7 to 8 days. This trip, this Hajj, is an 8-day trip. Talk about expense. 8-day trip. On the eighth day, they go to the plains of Arafat, and there they pray, which is supposedly where Muhammad got his last revelation. They pray, there all day long, seeking mercy from Allah for the day of judgment. So they go there, they pray all most of the day, seeking mercy from Allah for the day of judgment. Then they go to Mina, which is nearby, and there is a column set up to represent Satan, who is called, in some texts in the Quran, is called Satan, in others is called Iblis, and they throw rocks at the tower or the pillar while uttering curses upon Satan or Iblis. Then they go to sacrifice a ram, to remind them that according to Quran, it was not Isaac, it was Ishmael that was to be sacrificed, though he's not named by name. He is simply called the son. And in their estimation, since he was born 14, even though by Hagar, the maidservant, he was born 14 years prior to Isaac, he was the son, not Isaac. Isaac wasn't the son. So they sacrifice a ram, and then they cut their hair as a sign of humility and commitment. So these are the five pillars, and those things are expected during your lifetime. The Shahada, every prayer begins and ends with the Shahada, the confession. You're expected to pray, depending on whether you're Shia or Sunni, either three or five times every day, at a specific time, specific call to prayer. You're expected to do the almsgiving on a regular basis. You're expected to fast during the month of Ramadan. And then once in your life, you're expected to go to Mecca and make the pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj. So you know, those are the expectations of your actions. And once again, this is action-based, works-based. Those are the expectations of your actions. Now, some Muslims have taken jihad and added that to the list. So instead of five, for some Muslims, there are six. And the expectation is jihad. The word jihad means to struggle. And it's used, sometimes it's used in the Quran as an internal struggle. You're struggling with yourself and you're struggling with God on the inside. So it can mean that. But in many instances, jihad means to struggle with those who are enemies of Islam and Allah. Muhammad himself, while he had an internal struggle, jihad, remember we said a couple of weeks ago that he decided to go, that God told him to go back to Mecca to tear down all the idols and to cleanse the Kaaba, which had been a place of idol worship, but all of a sudden it's supposed to be cleansed for God. But before he took his army to go take over and do all that, he decided that you had to have money so it was okay to raid the caravans, especially the caravans that his family ran, his family that didn't like him. And so he declared that as jihad because they were against Islam. And he taught this peace and unity to them, this new message, and they didn't want any part of it because they wanted people to keep taking the caravans and coming and sacrificing to all the other gods. And so they rejected him, and some of them even treated him violently. So he goes to Medina where, you know, these folks accept his message initially till those Jews made fun of him because he said he was the final revelator and that the Hebrew Bible was wrong. And so then he decided, well, he was going to go back, but you had to have money, so we're going to raid caravans, and it's okay to raid caravans, and it's okay to kill them if they resist you, because you're preparing for, you're in jihad or you're in a struggle on behalf of Islam and Allah. Now, so we most often see jihad from the standpoint of a struggle or a war. Remember, Muhammad divided the world into the house of Islam and the house of war. Of course, yes, Christians did the same thing in the Crusades. But here, this jihad is seen as in honor of or in defense of. Now, jihad is not supposed to be an offensive move. It's only supposed to be a defensive move when people are attacking Islam, attacking Allah, or attacking Muhammad. That's why the cartoonists in the Netherlands were killed by folks when they did that cartoon a couple of years ago that the newspaper published that made fun of Muhammad, and they killed the two cartoonists and tried to kill the publishers. That's the thing about Charlie Hebdo in France. They had put out some stuff that made fun of Muhammad or didn't put him in a good light, and so that's why they attacked Charlie Hebdo, that firm. That's why Salman Rushdie only pops his head up every now and then and gives an interview and then disappears again, because years ago he wrote the book, The Satanic Verses, that made fun of Muhammad and raised questions about the validity of Islam, and they put out a jihad on him. So jihad can be against a nation, or it can be against an individual, or it can be an internal struggle that you're having with God. But it is a struggle, and it's a struggle on behalf of Islam. If you are a jihadi and you are, like I said, it's supposed to be in defense. But if you go and attack somebody that has made fun of Muhammad or Allah or raised questions about Islam, then you're considered not attacking them, you are defending. I guess that's kind of like those years ago, 20 years ago now, where textbooks in Japan were changed to say that Pearl Harbor was a defensive maneuver against the aggressive United States and imperialistic West. Wait a minute, people were just getting a good tan in Hawaii, and they attacked. But it's kind of like that. Okay, well, we're going to go and attack, but really it's a defensive measure. It's not an offensive measure because Quran says we're never to attack. We're only to defend. Yeah, right. Yeah, we're playing with words here. But with that jihad then, it is on behalf of Allah, and you will gain, and if you die in the process, if you're a martyr and die in the process, you gain even more brownie points, more extra credit with Allah. If it used to be 40 and then it went to 72, and some imams now teach that if you die in jihad during the month of Ramadan, you get 100 virgins. But it's either 40, most times it's either 40 or 72. If you die as a martyr on behalf of Islam, you are given 40 virgins or 72 virgins in the afterlife to do your bidding. Well, I mean, to do your bidding. For example, in Surah 37, Surah 37, let me find my verses here. Starting in verse 40. But the chosen servants of God shall have a known provision, fruits of various kinds, and they shall be honored in the gardens of bliss, seated on couches facing one another. A drink will be passed round among them from a flowing spring, white and delicious to those who drink it, causing no headiness or intoxication. With them will be, this translation says spouses, but the word is huris. With them will be huris, modest of gaze and beautiful of eye, like closely guarded pearls. And later on in the same chapter it says, and the huris are comely virgins who are there to do the bidding of those who are. I'm not sure, as I've said to a number of folks, and I've said in some classes, I'm not sure what the female suicide bombers now get. That's for the males. I don't know. Maybe they get 40 Chippendales. I don't know.
I did think that Muslim religion looked at the gay people like that. You know, they also get 40 virgin women, also get 40 virgins.
No. I'm figuring they get Chippendales, but the thing is, they'll get up there and expect Chippendale dancers, and there'll be little chipmunks. You know, like that. Yes.
Yeah, you can't help anybody with any kind of education. Now, of course, I know those people get brainwashed. Got to realize this stuff's contrived.
But they have been told, and it's been ingrained, and because of the advances of the Ottoman Empire and others with violence, etc., and covering so much of the earth, they have been ingrained with. There is one God, there is only one God, and that one God demands these things, and the whole world, whether they are Shia or Sunni, whether they say, we're going to attack you via weapons, or whether they say, we're going to use reason and PowerPoints that say Adam was the first Muslim and Jesus was a Muslim and all this kind of stuff. Either way, according to Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, Allah says that this is to be done until the entire world is under not only the control, but are part of the house of Islam, or they are to be, or they are destroyed. And we'll talk a little more next time because we're right at 5:30. Talk a little bit. We'll talk a little more next time though about some of their basic beliefs and read. So I mean, at the end when there is judgment, everyone will come up and be judged, and you better hope you're toward the back of the line and not the front of the line, because on the day of judgment, when you stand in line, everybody's lined up, there will be, according to the Quran, there will be an opportunity for those who who have done things against others to make attempt to make restitution before they actually get to the point of being judged. So you hope you're at the back of the line, not the front of the line, so you got more time. And it also says that though indicates that you may be a Jew or a Christian and your people of the book here and to be treated a certain way, but you'll be given an opportunity when you stand up for judgment to profess Islam as the true religion. If you do, then you get into heaven. Only Muslims get into heaven. If you don't, then you're considered an unbeliever and you go to hell. But we'll look next time at their basic teachings about God and angels and prophets and the holy books and the day of judgment and those kinds of things. Well, thank you. Thank you. And God bless you and go in peace. I will try to.